Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1439. The topic is Q&A and the title is, I'm dieting, but I'm not losing weight. So we had a listener send in a question, which is awesome, and thank you. So anybody else who ever wants to send in a question, please do. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. So they wrote in, hi Rob. I am sure you have covered this topic and answered this question a million times over, so please bear with me. Don't ever worry, by the way, if you are asking a question that you think I might have already covered. If it's something that I think a previous podcast would work well for, I'll just send you the podcast link. If it's something like this one where I kind of want to revisit or maybe present in a new way, it kind of sparks me to do so. So I really do appreciate people reaching out, so don't hesitate. They continue to write, I have recently returned to the gym and am hitting it hard. I am in a caloric deficit, 2,200 calories a daily at 240 pounds body weight, getting 1 gram of protein per weight, which I guess like per pound. And I'll come back to these numbers if you're losing me already. But so they're eating 2,200 calories a day. They weigh 240 pounds. And they're getting about 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. So that's 240 grams of protein. And then they continue to say, but I'm not losing weight. If anything, I'm gaining. Is this common in the first few weeks? They're taking creatine pre-workout and whey protein post-workout. They said it's not easy getting all the protein in at only 220 calories a day. What I mean by that is, by the time they get 240 grams of protein, there's been kind of paired with that protein has been some fats or carbs, and it's hard for them to control their total calories at only 2,200 calories when they're also trying to get 240 grams of protein. So protein, there's 4 calories per gram. So that's 960 calories worth of protein, and they're only allowed 2,200 of total calories in a day. Oof. That's a lot. So that's a huge percentage of their calories coming from protein. That's going to be very difficult to keep the carbs and fats down, and that's what they're saying they're struggling with. So they started the diet 2 weeks ago at 244 pounds, and they're currently at 249 pounds this morning. So essentially they're probably freaking out, and that's why I'm sending the email, is they're supposed to be on a diet, and in 2 weeks they gained 5 pounds. I would also be freaking out. That's very reasonable. So they wrote, I am strict with the diet, and I'm not taking shortcuts or cheating. So essentially, what they're trying to figure out is what the hell is going on. So they're in a major caloric deficit. 220 calories at 240 pounds is definitely a caloric deficit. But their weight is going up. What's happening? So what I wanted to do today is talk through, there's kind of like five areas, I think I have five here, maybe six, but five areas that I would look at in this situation, so therefore it's something you can look at. So the first thing we kind of go through is just kind of put some numbers into context. I reference all the time podcast 1232, which is a nutrition podcast titled Start Here. The reason why I reference that a lot is because it literally tells you where to start. It's a pretty awesome resource. So it basically tells you how to figure out your calories that you need per day, grams of protein. It talks you through setting up meal timing, like when you should eat your foods, when you should distribute your calories and protein. It takes you through all the steps. That's definitely a good thing to check out. If you listen to that one, you'll hear that the general recommendation when it comes to like how many calories you should have per day, if you have to just kind of throw out a ballpark, and I'm going to go through and give you more ways to kind of refine the answer, but a general ballpark answer is your calories should be somewhere between body weight times 11 to body weight times 15. So 13 to 15, body weight times 13, body weight times 14, body weight times 15, somewhere in that range. That's typically enough calories for most people to gain muscle tissue, and they might actually start gaining weight. So if your goal is to build muscle, you know, having your calories at body weight times 15 is a good general ballpark to start with. Now, if you're trying to lose weight, body weight times 11 to 13, somewhere in that range, is generally a good ballpark to start from. Body weight times 11 is usually, for most people, if I have to just draw out a number, you know, through a podcast, that's the lowest that I would go with. And I would kind of start there and try to normalize that, make that consistent before I would try like to adjust that. So if we look at his body weight being 240 pounds, if we multiply that by 11, that's 2,640 calories. He is only eating 2,200. So what's happening is one of the potential issues he's running into is he is underfeeding his body. He's not giving it enough calories, actually. So then what happens is the body goes into kind of like a protection mode where, you know, it's kind of like if you're outspending your bank account. And then all of a sudden you realize that you're going to say, oh, crap, I have to slow down some of this spending. So what happens with the body when we reduce the calories too much? The body starts to reduce the way in which it uses calories. So anything that is not essential, so anything that's non-essential, it'll start to reduce the calories, like the caloric distribution towards those things, or caloric allocation, whatever the term would be. But like for growing our hair, like repairing kind of like our skin, making our skin nice and smooth and soft, you know, growing our nails, those things are typically things that we'll see right away, that when somebody's underfed, their hair doesn't grow as fast, their nails don't grow as fast, their skin can actually start to feel dry, which is kind of really weird. The body kind of, you can notice those reactions. But the reason why is the body says, well, if I don't have enough calories coming in versus what I'm spending, let me learn how to spend less. So it starts to give less calories towards growing your hair, growing your nails, you know, making your skin soft. So the body starts to learn how to adapt off of less and less calories. In the meantime, while it's trying to figure that out, it realizes, okay, if I'm having to use up body fat as a source of energy because you're not eating enough energy in calories, then the body fat that you have becomes really important, because if you were to run out of body fat and you're not eating enough, your organs would die. So the body has gotten, you know, smart enough over the years to realize it doesn't want to die, and it figures out a few ways to kind of work against that. So what happens when you undereat is you actually prioritize the need for body fat, and you increase the body's desire to replace the fat that you use and to try to put more back on. So the body starts to fight against fat loss, and it starts to actually fight to create new fat. Now, if you're only eating, you know, like say 220 calories and you're supposed to be eating 2,600, you might say, well, how am I getting fat, you know, if I'm not eating a lot of calories? Like, where's that fat coming from? Well, one thing to kind of think of is when you eat a meal, you might be ingesting, say, 800 calories. You probably don't need 800 calories at that moment or within the next hour or two. So in that moment, there's actually what would be considered a surplus. There's more calories during that time of digestion than what you have the need to use. So you have momentary surpluses every time you eat. So in those momentary surpluses, the body grabs anything extra it can get and starts to put it back towards body fat. And then later on, whenever it needs the calories, it'll pull from that body fat and it'll give you more energy, but it continues to fight to create that as it continues to fight to reduce the calories it uses. So what happens is over time, you'll have less and less calories being used by the body, but your body will be trying to save every single calorie. So that's likely what's starting to happen for him. Since he is under that body weight times 11, the body's probably kicked into this mode where it's starting to try to save everything, and that's why he notices his weight going up. A podcast that can kind of help make more sense of that is podcast 1344. It's a nutrition podcast titled Balancing the Books. And we talk about kind of the expenditure of calories versus the saving of calories like we do with money, and how the body responds that way. Now, if you have trouble finding an old podcast of ours, because I want to mention a couple other ones, you can just go to Google, type in Podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N, weird name, but Podbean, it's a podcast hosting platform that we use. So if you type Podbean Brutal Iron Gym, it'll take you to our Podbean homepage, and on the right side of the page in the middle of the screen, like a vertical height middle, you're going to see a search function. You can just type in the podcast number, say 1,344, and it'll bring that up for you. Or you can always type in just, you know, general word, like say protein, and you'd be able to see all the podcasts we've done on protein. So that's pretty helpful. So that's the first thing I look at, is try to say, okay, what are his calories probably supposed to be? And that's where we do the body weight times 11. That's the lowest number that it should be. Now, there's also some caveats kind of that go with that, is you also want to understand that where you're starting your diet from will impact the effectiveness of your diet, and especially the speed in which the diet starts to kind of feel like it's working. If you've been chronically under eating, the body is very slow to respond to any changes that you do. If you've been chronically overeating, the body will respond pretty quickly. So where you started your diet from does matter. And especially, let's say, for example, that you've been accidentally kind of under eating. You've only been eating body weight times 8. And now all of a sudden you hear me say, well, you should be at body weight times 11. If you just go right from body weight times 8 to body weight times 11, you might actually gain a few pounds, like 2 to 3 pounds within the first week. Now that's going to be water weight, but it'll freak you out. And you might think, oh my gosh, you know, I'm getting fat, so increasing my calories to body weight times 11 isn't right for me. Well, it is, but unfortunately where you're starting from is just too far off. It's too low. So we have a podcast, 1099. It's a nutrition podcast titled How to Increase Calories If You've Been Under Eating. And that one will talk you through how to do this. A very quick version of it is, if you calculate your calories out and say you're eating body weight times 8, instead of going to body weight times 11, just go to body weight times 9 for 2 weeks, then body weight times 10 for 2 weeks, then body weight times 11. So you have to kind of work your way up there. And that gives your body a chance to kind of allocate those extra calories out towards activities rather than trying to save them. If you make a big jump right away, the body's going to try to save all of that right away. So you want to kind of like stretch that out a little bit. Also, conversely, if you've been way too high, say you've been overeating and now all of a sudden you want to start dieting, if you've been eating like body weight times, you know, say 16 or body weight times 17 as like a random high calories, and now you're like, you know, this is it, I'm going to diet, I'm going to go hardcore, I'm going to drop right to body weight times 11. You will hate yourself. You're going to feel a huge crash of energy. You're going to feel miserable. Now, that might not kick in until 2 weeks. The first week, you're going to lose a lot of weight. It's going to be mostly water weight, but you're going to feel successful. You're going to feel great. And then the second week, you're going to start to run really low on energy. You're going to start to have higher cravings. The third week, you're going to want to like eat people's arms, and you're going to just be mad at everybody. So a way to avoid that would be to basically do the opposite. Now, we talk about in podcast 1183. So it's another podcast. It's a nutrition podcast titled How to Adjust Daily Calories Based on Body Fat. So if you're coming from overeating and a high amount of body fat, and you look at your calories and you're like, I don't know what they should be. You know, maybe I weigh 280 pounds, but I'm like 30, 35% body fat. I'm really only a 200 pound person in a 280 pound person body. Should I eat based on 280 pounds? Should I eat based on the target goal that I want to be at, 200? What should I do with that number? So, podcast 1183 will tell you how to do that. So these are the first steps I look at, is, okay, what numbers should they be at and what numbers are they coming from? Another thing, the other things you want to throw out there is to make sure that you're measuring your foods correctly. I've had people where they're very diligent about measuring their food. They're just inaccurate in how they're measuring it. So one client, for example, we had a conversation. And it was kind of an impromptu conversation in a training session, and they wanted to know how many carbs they should be eating before their workout. And I said, well, I want you to get 50 grams of carbs from, and I gave them a couple different food sources. Well, they took those food sources and they weighed them at 50 grams. And it was like, oh no. So to get 50 grams of carbs from, say, pasta, it does not mean that you weigh out 50 grams of pasta. So grams of carbs is different than grams of weight of a food. And sometimes people will kind of make that mistake. So you might be very diligent in how you're measuring stuff. You're just maybe measuring it in an inaccurate way. So for example, I had another client. They were eating pasta for a meal. and they said they were getting, I think it was like 20-some grams of protein from pasta. And I was like, how the hell are you getting 20-some grams of protein from pasta? And it wasn't like, you know, chickpea pasta, which has a higher protein content. It was just regular pasta. And they said, well, I'm eating a cup of pasta, and that's 8 ounces. And I was like, what? And we were talking it through, and they did the same thing where they thought, you know, a cup of liquid is like 8 fluid ounces. They were taking a cup of pasta and thinking they should eat 8 ounces of pasta. And it was like just kind of getting those measurement aspects corrected. And that can be an issue for people, is you don't know what you don't know. So you might be measuring and weighing things based on what you know, but what you know, unfortunately, isn't accurate. So a simple thing you can do is just YouTube search for weighing and measuring foods. There's a lot of really good videos out there. But just see people using food scales. They'll talk about different units of measurement. You know, our American system is kind of annoying and frustrating. But you know, if you're American, you're going to have to deal with it. So you can look at different YouTube videos, and they will help kind of teach you how to measure foods, whether you're measuring liquids or solids and stuff like that. So that might be good to kind of double check. Another thing you want to double check is just your accuracy of what you are doing. So we often, when we say we're following a diet, we feel the pressure of the diet's parameters on our decisions every day. But it doesn't mean we're actually making the best decisions. So I talked about this in podcast 1408. It's a nutrition podcast titled The Effects of Effort Without Accuracy. And sometimes this just happens. You know, somebody in that podcast, I give a long story that you can hear about in more detail, where somebody said is, you know, hey, I'm following the program, but I'm not losing weight. I think I'm going to bump the numbers down 200. So they're going to reduce their training day calories by 200 and their non-training day calories by 200. So I said, well, hold on. Before you make that change, let me go look at the numbers. And what we found was they weren't actually following the numbers. Some days they were high, some days they were low, some days they didn't track anything, some days they were actually on point. But their trending average, believe it or not, was actually roughly about 200 calories under what the targets were. So they were going to move the targets when they weren't even following the targets, and they were going to move them to what they were already doing. So it's interesting in that we all, you know, myself included, we all kind of lie to ourselves a little bit, or we accept, you know, well, I meant to eat this, but this came up, you know, and what can you do? So you end up eating the wrong thing. But if somebody said, you know, are you following your diet? You'd say, yeah, I'm following my diet. It's like, well, you're aware of the diet. Doesn't mean we're actually following it. So it's really a good idea to kind of make sure you're tracking what you do along with, you know, actually trying to do it. So if you feel like you're following your diet, do you actually kind of track your calories? Do you know what the number is? If you say, yeah, I eat a lot of protein, well, how much is a lot? Do you actually track it? Do you actually know your numbers? So rather than thinking that you eat enough or thinking that you're eating well, know. Know it. Know it if you're doing it. So that's where things like MyFitnessPal, MyMacros, there's the 40 billion food tracking things you can do. But something where you can kind of track your calories and your protein will be very helpful. Now, you don't have to do it every single day if you don't want to. That might be overwhelming. Some people love that because then they know that they're on point every single day. So some people find a lot of comfort in tracking it every day. Other people, maybe they track, you know, say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I have some people that do that. And then the weekends are crazy. Maybe they have some kids that do some travel, you know, baseball or something. So the weekends are always nuts and they just eat what they can. But they like kind of knowing what they're doing during the week. I have other people that eat very cleanly during the week because it's a structured schedule, but they eat like crap on the weekends, so they actually only track the weekend because that gives them a little more discipline and kind of gives them a better idea of what they're doing. So you can track all the days. You can track some of the days. It's just a good idea to track something to just double check if you're on track with your numbers. Now, one thing that's motivational to know is you don't have to be perfect. By no means whatsoever do you have to be perfect all the time. And if you make one mistake, you know, the whole diet's out the window and you're a failure. So what I tell most people is if we look at a 2-week period, say 14 days, ideally kind of like what we'd like to do is like a minimum would be to get 10 out of 14 days kind of on point. So if you have a calorie goal for the day, if you have a protein goal for the day, Can you hit those numbers 10 out of 14 days? If you can, that's usually enough consistency to see some results. Now, that's generally pretty good if your goal isn't to, say, get on stage, you know, with veins on your abs. If you're just wanting to be less fat and somewhat healthy, 10 out of 14 is plenty. You're going to do really well. Now, if you want to get on stage or if you want to be, you know, an elite athlete in some way, you're going to want to be as close to 14 out of 14, but realize that perfection isn't possible. Maybe you're only going to get 12 or 13 out of 14 days, but that is enough. You know, I've helped people get pro cards in both tested and non-tested divisions. I've helped people get elite totals. I've helped professional athletes. I've helped really high-end people, and I will tell you firsthand that they are not perfect. They try their best to be perfect, but they do make mistakes here and there, and they've still been very successful. So don't beat yourself up too much if you're messing up, you know, every now and then, but you do want to get to at least 10 out of 14 days for kind of normal average goals. 12 out of 14 days is really good if you want to have kind of higher end goals. Cool. Now, the last thing to look at is just kind of the concept of fat loss versus weight loss. So when you say I'm not losing weight, do you actually want to weigh less, or do you just want to have less body fat? Those are different. They're usually correlated, but they are different. So podcast 743 is a nutrition podcast titled Fat Loss versus Weight Loss. And we actually talk about that and how you can lose body fat, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll weigh less. So a lot of the people I work with, we would have a goal of losing body fat and building muscle at the same time. They don't care whether or not they weigh less significantly. You know, if they lose 10 or 15 pounds, great. But they really just want to look better. You know, they want to look better in their clothes. They want to look better naked. Whatever it is, they just want to look better. They don't really care what they weigh. They just want to look good. And they assumed that weighing less will help them look good. But weighing less isn't the goal. The goal is to look good, look better. So that's a good thing to kind of recognize. And like I remember I had one client, we worked together, I think it was 2.5 months. It would have been like 10 weeks or so. And at that time, whenever before we started, she had told me all the things she was doing. And one of the things she was doing was she was very emotionally attached to a scale. So I said, hey, you know, for the next 10 weeks, just don't jump on a scale. Let's use, you know, how your clothes feel, how you feel throughout the day is your energy. We talked about all these other things. And what found out was over 10 weeks, she dropped 2 pant sizes. But when she got on the scale after 10 weeks, she was up 7 pounds. And she actually laughed. She said, I would have fired you if I didn't know if I had measured, weighed myself the whole time. Because over 10 weeks, she actually went up 7 pounds, but she went down 2 pant sizes. Now, that's a pretty extreme result. But the reason why was because she was previously like very inconsistent in her eating, and she had never lifted weights before. So she was having really good response to new, healthy, happy behaviors. But that's something to consider is, you know, if you're trying to lose body fat, you may be in the best scenario when your weight doesn't change. You know, maybe over 4 to 8 weeks, like let's say over 2 months, you might lose 2 pounds of fat and gain 2 pounds of muscle. So you end up weighing the exact same, but you look much better. To lose 2 pounds of fat and to gain 2 pounds of muscle is aesthetically very different. You would notice that change. But if you were looking at just body weight, you wouldn't see anything be different. You know, if I lose 2 pounds of fat and I gain 2 pounds of muscle, I net zero. So it's important to understand, you know, when you're saying I'm not, if this is different from the person who sent this email, if they gained 5 pounds in 2 weeks, yes, something's wrong, and we want to fix that. But let's say you started a new diet and you're new to lifting weights, and let's say in the first 4 weeks you didn't lose any weight. Don't be too alarmed, because you probably have gained a little, like some muscle tissue, and definitely gained what's called like glycogen, which is stored carbohydrates within your muscles. Since you're using your muscles more, the body's going to store more carbohydrates within the muscles, which brings in with it water weight. So you might have more muscle tissue plus water associated within the muscles while you also lost some body fat. So if you're newer to lifting or you're newer to having more consistent eating, you might have a fat loss effect that doesn't show as weight loss. So these are all different things that I would look at. I know I named a lot of podcasts, but again, you can just go to Brutal Iron Gym, Podbean, and you can check out all the search function on that page. So for this person, it looks like they're under eating. So I will email them back a direct answer along with this podcast just to help give them some more information. But that looks to be the main issue is they're active, they've been going to the gym. So they're under eating, by the way, for just like a sedentary lifestyle. So even if they were just sitting in front of a computer, they're under eating. So let alone if they're already going back to the gym and exercising, then heck yes, they're severely under eating. So that's probably what's happening. And then anytime they eat, their body has that momentary surplus and it's trying to store everything it possibly can as body fat. So if they were to increase their calories to 2,600 calories a day on non-training days and 2,800 calories a day on training days, then they're going to actually notice that they're going to lose weight. They'll actually reduce water retention from stress and they'll actually start to lose body fat. So that will help them a lot. So I'll send them some more information. But I wanted to thank them for sending in the question and kind of reaching out to us. And I hope everybody else benefited from this. You got some good podcasts to check out. And then also, I hope you feel encouraged to also reach out as well. I'm always here and I'm always happy to help. And I love hearing from people. It's motivational to know that people enjoy the podcast and find it useful. Great. Well, if you do like our podcast and you find it helpful in your life, please consider sharing it. If you share it on social media, that reaches the most amount of people. But you can also just share it in a conversation with a friend. The whole goal is just to help people live their healthiest and happiest lives. Thank you to the patrons of the podcast, the people who financially support the podcast. The podcast is well over $1,000 a year for hosting costs. I give an hour to it every day, and we want to keep it for free. So I do appreciate the donations that go towards some of that hosting cost. Thank you very much. If you do want to donate, you can do so at our website, www.brittleirongym.com. There's an option there for a one-time donation, monthly donation, yearly donation. Anything you can give, even $5 a month, it does add up and it does help. So thank you very much. Also, if you like the information we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brittle Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything you want to know, let us know at our email, brittleirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.